find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, welcome back to the Masterclass. Guys, it is the one that you've all wanted, the Erik ten Hag special. I keep on getting so many people, Curran, they keep on messaging me saying, when are you doing a ten Hag one? When are you doing a ten Hag one? I said, we'll only do one, obviously, when there's a little bit more concrete news. And there is quite a lot of concrete news at the moment. Manchester United are interested in him. There has been an approach. I am joined again by Curran Tejwani. He was here previously doing the fantastic podcast with me on Ralph Rangnick before he joined. And I'm really delighted to have him back. So, Curran, welcome back. How are you today? And quite a lot of news on Erik ten Hag.
I'm all right, Heather. Thanks for having me back here. It's always nice to discuss Ajax, Erik ten Hag, obviously one of the more brighter coaches of the generation, probably the person that everyone wants or every top club wants that can't really have him. There's been quite a lot of talk about Erik ten Hag and him coming to Manchester United or joining any club in the last couple of weeks. So interesting to see how the next few months will be.
Absolutely. And guys, as always, give Curran a follow. His at handle will be in the description below. Give myself a follow on @Hayden_Rabani and give us a follow on @TF Masterclass. But let's just dive straight into it, Curran. And Erik ten Hag is definitely the fans' favourite. He is a coach with an immense, I would say, reputation across Europe. Barcelona have been interested in him in the past. I can see him probably managing at any top club in Europe, really. He's that highly revered. I sit here and I'd be absolutely delighted with him as Man United manager. I am more of a Pochettino fan, but I would be equally happy with Ten Hag. I do have some reservations in terms of the structure at the football club. And, in terms of moving from Ajax, where he has the full support, he's obviously more of a head coach there. And he's a tracksuit manager. He's always on the training ground, to coming to Manchester United, which is very unstructured, a bit of a circus. So my question to you today is Ten Hag the right coach for Man United going forward if they want to go and, one, try and bring back some glory days, and two, try and match Pep and Klopp at Liverpool and City, because they're obviously the two top sides in Europe at the minute?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and it's a very conflicting thing as well from a personal perspective. Just like you, I'm more of a Pochettino person. I prefer Pochettino came over, and that's not because of Ten Hag's quality or Pochettino's quality. It's down to the fact that United themselves are quite, as you mentioned, unstructured, and then it's hard to judge where they will go in the next few months. I do think Ten Hag, as I mentioned, is one of the brightest coaches, probably the brightest coach, young coach, coming up through European football. And I think the thing that he'll be one of the world's best if he joins a more structured club, say a Manchester City or a Liverpool. But at United itself, it's hard to say where that'll go, mainly because it's hard to judge where United are going after the Ed Woodward era, now that it's ended for the last 2 months or so. And also the fact that Ralph Rangnick will be involved. I mentioned a couple of months ago when I was on the podcast that Ralph Rangnick is now there and he will be in a consultancy role for the next 2 years after the season. So there'll be a sort of a clash in styles where it'll be Rangnick's German sort of pressing style against Ten Hag if he joins and his Cruyffianism. So there'll be a bit of a clash there, but I'm sure both of them are talented enough to make it work and sort of follow one common line. Whether he's the right coach for United, from a playing style, from a football perspective, only on the pitch, I don't see why it cannot work. Surely a top coach working with top players, and United do have a very good squad. They have a few gaps in there, but in terms of young players, in terms of talents they already have, you think of Sancho, Langer, Bruno Fernandes, Rashford, whoever, there is a very talented squad in there that sort of suits to his style. But with Manchester United, as we've seen for the last decade almost, there's always a big but. There's how much can be invested into the squad to take them to the next level. They do need a few new players, perhaps a new centre-half, perhaps a new midfielder, a new forward, whoever. Whether that's given to him in his first summer, that the right tools to work with is uncertain. So to answer the question, in terms of football, yes, he's probably the ideal man to challenge City, Liverpool, Chelsea. But in terms of considering United as a football club, it's probably my personal preference that United go for Pochettino, because they'd be perhaps ruining a very good head coach in Erik ten Hag in the long run. And that's not to say Pochettino's career should be given that much stress, but ten Hag is a person that I like very much, that I like to see doing very well.
See, this is one of my concerns. I don't want to sit here and make this anything about Pochettino, because we're just going to focus really on Ten Hag. But one of my concerns, or it's almost a concern for Ten Hag himself. It's like, why would he risk his reputation at a club like Manchester United, where it's very dysfunctional? Football isn't, you know, it isn't the priority from top to bottom. You know, the structure isn't in place. You know, like City, like Liverpool. You know, he could wait a couple of years. Wait out and wait for those two jobs. And it's so difficult for me as a United fan to sit here and say that, but that's what I think with Ten Hag. I think it's a massive risk. And then when you look at Pochettino, I'll quickly give my point on Pochettino, and then we'll move on to Ten Hag in more detail. But you know, obviously he's coached at Spurs. What he's done at Spurs is definitely overlooked. He's at PSG, again, very dysfunctional. We all know what Leonardo runs the show over there. So that's my concern. But I do want to sort of bring it back to Ten Hag, because he is a very, very good tactician. Ajax plays some fantastic football. You know, the statistics this season are absolutely crazy. I'm just going to bring them up. You know, they've scored 71 goals. And I believe they've conceded less than 10, I believe it is. Possession, you know, 67.4%. So they dominate possession. Very high pass accuracy in 85%. And obviously they're sitting top. And we've seen what they do in Europe. I mean, you know, He's made Haller an absolutely fantastic player this season. So he does develop players. So what tactics will he bring? He is 4-3-3. You mentioned the Cruyffism before. He's not totally in the Guardiola mold in terms of the style of play. I think there are elements of, you know, similar to Ranić's style. You know, I think he's a bit of a hybrid between the two. But it is going from, you know, more vertical football, counter-pressing, win the ball back quickly, and looking to score, and then going to more possession base. And my concern is this squad is not fit to do that in key areas, as we mentioned. And that means that if he isn't backed in the summer, let's say he comes in, I do have concerns about his sort of ability to bring his philosophy into this team.
No, you're right. Yeah. And, you know, Ajax, you do mention he has a very good reputation at Ajax and in the Netherlands as a whole. And it's not just come from his Ajax days. Even back when his previous job, when he was at Utrecht, or even when he was at Go Ahead Eagles 10 years ago, when he took them from the second division to the first division, that blueprint of playing the 4-3-3 has always been there, you know. His team, I'll go back 10 years and take his Go Ahead Eagles team. They were a second division team, had a few good players there, and took them to the first division. Similar style, 4-3-3, relied a lot on players' fitness, relied a lot on players being disciplined, you know. Off the pitch, they have to be eating healthily and living a healthy lifestyle. In training, they have to be disciplined in terms of, you know, the training bits have to be aligned perfectly. Players have to be under a strict sort of routine and be focused on the game every time that they're training. And that was carried forward to Utrecht as well, where he's been sort of carrying forward that 4-3-3, playing with wingers and having wingers inward into the pitch, and the fullbacks have to be overlapping. And that's obviously been sort of carried to Ajax. And he's been successful wherever he's taken that forward. And you mentioned that sort of hybrid he's had with Guardiola and all that. Obviously, he worked with Guardiola at Bayern Munich for a short period of time, for 2 years with the second team. And he credits Guardiola as perhaps one of the biggest influences in his football, in his coaching career. So that sort of mix is there between the sort of Cruyffianism we've seen and the sort of German, where he's picked up methods from some of the game's best in the modern day, and sort of brought that forward to this Ajax team. Now, I think this current Ajax team is his best team that he's ever managed. Obviously, it's hard to judge where they'll go in the next few months, whether they'll be able to reach the Champions League semi-final like they did 2 years ago, whether they'll go further. But I do think the team has the talent to actually go that far once again, mainly because he's got this team where some of the more experienced players, you think Tadic, Blind, they've been there for a long time to sort of understand those methods, and the new players have taken to it very easily. And you think players like Lisandro Martinez, Edson Alvarez, Julian Timber, and Anthony, they sort of acclimatized to this new climate very well. So I do think that this team is perhaps the best team to judge Erik ten Hag's football on. And even from a tactical perspective, almost spot on every game. The last few weeks have been a bit patchy with Ajax. They've been conceding more silly goals. But a lot of it comes down to individual errors, which is beyond his control in the end. So yeah, it's when if he is to join Man United, you'd expect a lot of the same to be carried forward. You think the 4-3-3 will come there. He's often been happy to play a 5-3-2 as well, a 5-back. If you want a good game to watch from the past, Utrecht was with Ajax when he was the Utrecht manager. I think it was about 2 months before he joined Ajax, and he took a back 5 to the Amsterdam Arena, beat Ajax 2-1, and that is perhaps seen as, you know, the coming of age game for Erik ten Hag. So if you want a good game to sort of judge his tactical style, that's one you can watch. Other than that, the entire Champions League run 2019, where he played the Tadic variant, which was playing Tadic as centre forward, and having Neres and Ziyech on the wings, that was another example of his tactical acumen, where he's willing to change his traditional style. So he is willing to adapt to situations, and he's very smart in game. So it goes without doubt that he's one of the smartest managers in the game right now.
That's fantastic insight. I do want to ask about sort of drill a bit deeper into, you know, some of his tactics and some of the characteristics of his team. So controlling possession is very, very important, territory as well. Is there any concerns that he might struggle to transition that across into the Premier League? Because obviously Ajax dominate territory, dominate possession. It is a less physical league. I would say it is a slower league than the Premier League. You know, that's not to say it's a worse league. It's just, it is fundamentally, there are differences. You've seen players come over like Donny van der Beek, who struggled a little bit with the sort of stop-start. You know, you're having to be quite aggressive in the Premier League. We saw David Klaassen as well struggle at Everton. So are there any concerns that he would struggle to maybe bring some of that across? Because Guardiola had to change when he came to the Premier League. You know, in his first season, City finished fourth, and well, look, he spent 250 million on fullbacks and a goalkeeper. But yeah, are there any concerns that, you know, maybe the tactical transition could be a bit of a struggle initially? Because I think that's one of the things. Let's say you bring someone like Pochettino in, you know, he knows the Premier League, he's seasoned, he's experienced, he's been successful. So is there that concern? Because obviously, if it does work, United's got a fantastic manager, you know, someone that can probably rival Pep and Klopp.
I do think that concern will be there. I think the first few months, should he join, will be a bit of a slow burner, really, a bit of a slow start in the season because of that adaptation time. And you're right, that every player, every coach coming in from the Eredivisie requires that sort of a few months to sort of adapt to the league and the physicality of it, the surrounding of it. And that's, it's going to be the same for Ten Hag, I think. You know, even this season, the biggest criticism of Ajax would be that they leave the defence too open in the back. There's too many chances given up. And fortunately for them, they don't concede too many goals. But there is that possibility for opposition teams to score and create chances against them. If you watch the Champions League games, the Ajax players, you notice so many times where there have been errors made at the back and there's been too much space open because Ajax are too committed up top. So that's one of the biggest criticisms they can have as a team. But apart from that, it's hard to judge with this Ajax team, mainly because they've been near perfect all season. Should it come to the Premier League and they face tougher opposition, I think, you know, I don't see why a Manchester City or a Liverpool or a Chelsea or even one of the mid-table teams, say a West Ham, Leicester or a Wolves, can't sort of break that United defence at the back, especially if they don't get the right personnel in. So there will be issues for him in the start. I do firmly believe that. But long-term, it's something that can be fixed, provided he has the right personnel.
Yeah, good point. And before we move on to, you know, the players that will be suited under Ten Hag, I do want to ask about his mentality, because he does impress me in his press conferences. He's obviously very ambitious. You know, sometimes Ajax will go and win 2-3-0 and he'll be, you know, almost Sir Alex-esque, you know, in terms of, well, you know, we expect better. What is his mentality like? And, you know, is that something that United fans should be excited about with him?
It's a good question there. I think that, you know, it's and you mentioned Sir Alex asks, he has that sort of mentality to sort of win games and focus on the next game. There's this famous story that goes around after the beat Real Madrid 4-1 on the flight back. There was essentially two sections of the squad, where there was one section of the players and some of the staff celebrating, and the other staff was Ten Hag on his own, focusing on the next match against Fortuna Sittard in the league, which was to happen 3 days later. So if you beat Real Madrid 4-1 in the Bernabeu, in what is probably the biggest result of his career, and he's focusing on a league game against one of the bottom teams in the league in order to win the league title, it shows his mentality. They just want to get better. Eventually, they ended up winning the title and the cup as well, reached the Champions League semi-final. So it was fair enough for him to focus on the game ahead. But no, in terms of his mentality itself, when I was speaking to a couple of players for my book about Ten Hag, a lot of them mentioned that he has this human touch, that he's very football centric, but when training ends, when game ends, he focuses on the players and their lifestyle beyond it, focus on their families and how they're doing. So that human touch has to be there, which we've seen has been quite successful for a lot of coaches. Thomas Tuchel is a big advocate of that. He focuses a lot on the players' lives. It's a very German sort of thing where you see the likes of Klopp, Tuchel focus on that sort of thing, even Nagelsmann. But as I mentioned earlier, in the discipline part of it, players have to be disciplined. When he first joined Utrecht, there's a story going that players had to wear typical plain black football boots, be uniformed. They had to keep training bibs in separated by color, so green bibs, yellow bibs, orange bibs in certain sections. When he joined Go Ahead Eagles, he asked for his office to be moved closer to the training ground so that he could focus, keep a window open, and players can come in and have a chat whenever they want. So sort of those little things which make a big difference for a head coach, which sort of, you know, make the head coach the big leader of the team, that he's approachable, that he's there to talk to when you need. And eventually, when on the football side of it itself, he is very focused, very detailed, very thorough. Every player that I spoke to mentioned that he's planning for things that may not even happen in a football game, that could go wrong, you know, sort of tying up those loose ends. So that's quite important for him. So mentality-wise, United would be getting a very detailed, thorough, intelligent head coach if they do get him.
Yeah, I love listening to stories like that because it really does give an insight. Like you mentioned, the small things are actually the things that can make, you know, a huge difference. And, you know, he's almost... He gives me a sort of, like you mentioned, sort of vibes of Pep. I think he's also got a bit of Klopp about him as well. You know, some of the tendencies. He's quite, for me, he's quite German. He's not, you know, sort of typically Dutch. That's the sort of, you know, I get a sort of similar vibe when I look at Tuchel, you know, sort of Nagelsmann and Klopp. You know, I get that sort of vibe. But obviously then he's, you know, got this Cruyffism and the whole Ajax sort of philosophy. So it's quite an interesting and exciting combination for a manager to have. But let's move on to the players that are suited to Erik ten Hag. So Man United have a squad with a lot of holes in it. There's in some areas, there's a lot of talent. I think the key area is obviously the midfield. I think centre-half is an issue. So I think that there are a few players that might not be suited to it. But I think that on the whole, there's some really exciting players for him to work with. I think Jadon Sancho is a great player for him to work with. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Donny van der Beek, you know, should Ten Hag come. I see a lot of people saying Bruno Fernandes won't make it to Ten Hag's team. I think that's nonsense. I mean, if you look at, you know, I think Bruno Fernandes is an enigma. His numbers are world-class and sometimes his performances can be wasteful and it can be a bit of a letdown. But I think he could probably flourish sort of in the Tadic role that... we saw, you know, Tadic play almost as that false nine. So, yeah, which players do you think would really flourish? And also, similarly, which players do you think would, you know, would struggle maybe under Ten Hag? It's difficult to say, isn't it? Because no one really thought that maybe McTominay would be one of Ranić's best players.
Yeah, it's hard to judge for any manager coming in. You know, who'd have thought that Fred would be one of Ralph Ranić's best players? But in terms of the squad itself, I think, as I mentioned earlier, down the wing, they have lots of talented players. Jadon Sancho could sort of take up that Anthony role, where he's so creative, so intelligent on the wing. He's definitely going to be the one that sort of this team has to be built around if Erik ten Hag comes in. I do think out of all the players in the United squad, if there was one I would pick that could potentially win a Ballon d'Or, it would be Jadon Sancho because he's that good. So he is the one to build the team around. And without a doubt, ten Hag would love him. Elanga is another interesting one because of his sort of tenacity, his smartness and movement. I've been very impressed by Elanga. I'm glad he didn't go out on loan. He's got this time on the pitch. And the last few weeks have been great for him as well, scoring quite a few goals. And that goal against Atletico was the masterpiece for him, the moment for him. And it was great to see a young academy player sort of come through and in a difficult moment for the club, just push them through to the next stage. So those two are the ones that I'd be most excited about. Fred's another one. As I mentioned, the tenacity in midfield is sort of required. Pogba, if he leaves... we don't know, but Pogba's any manager would be happy with the talent he has. You know, players like at Ajax, like Ryan Gravenberch or Steven Berghuis have come in and they have that sort of flair to sort of carry the attack forward. And Pogba does have that, probably even or most definitely even better than Berghuis or Gravenberch can bring. So Pogba's definitely there. And you know, obviously, I think Van der Beek will finally find the manager he wants at United. He finally will get the time. Ten Hag loved him at Ajax.
What position, Karen, for Van der Beek?
Van der Beek, I think it would be more number 10 role that we saw him play in those Champions League games. So for the Champions League games at Ajax, the front four was essentially Van der Beek in the number 10, Tadic up front, and Neres and Ziyech on the wings. So I think that that'll be more useful for him, where he'll find his true rhythm. Bruno Fernandes obviously plays that right now, but with how that's going to work out, I don't know. But I think it would be more suited to Van der Beek than Solskjaer or Rangnick have been.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I do want to talk about the fullbacks as well, because, you know, right back is obviously a bit of an issue for Manchester United at the moment. Aaron Wan-Bissaka hasn't really developed how he wanted to. Major deficiencies going forward. He's found his way back in the team of late. And then you obviously got Diogo Dalot, who it's not great when he's having to defend. You know, on the back foot, on the front foot, he's very progressive. It's quite exciting to watch. He needs to improve his end product. So obviously, you know, Ten Hag's sides do rely on the fullbacks as well. You know, for creation and providing width. They have to be intelligent as well. And Luke Shaw's had a really tough season. Alex Telles, there are concerns with Telles as well. I don't think Telles is very progressive. So, you know, are those four players, you know, players that Ten Hag would like? Would they suit him? Or would he be looking to you know, upgrade on them? And then also, you've got Harry Maguire, who's another one. I'm not the biggest Harry Maguire fan. I think there's too many deficiencies in his game in terms of his, you know, his speed and some of his awareness. I think he's fantastic on the ball. I think he's a very good progressor of the ball. But I think there's too many mistakes in him. But then I look over and I look at Daley Blind, who was one of my favourite players actually of the post Sir Alex Ferguson era at Man United. I was just shocked that Jose Mourinho sold him. I think he's very underrated. He's obviously not someone blessed with speed. He's a very intelligent player nonetheless. But what about in the defence? How do you think these players would suit Ten Hag's system?
There's a few complexities in that question when you compare this Ajax, the current season of Ajax, and the current United squad. You know, in this team, the current team, we have the Ajax team, we have Nusair Mazraoui, who's essentially plays on the other half of the pitch because of how much he's bombarding forward. And United do have that, but on the left side in terms of Shaw and Telles. And because of that, it creates essentially a back three of Martinez, Timber and Blind, who's technically the left back, but he doesn't go forward that often. So he's essentially playing as a third centre half. Whether that can be transferred to United, but on the opposite side, say, for example, if Van der Saka is more defensive and the left side of players more attacking, it'll be interesting to see. So there's a few complexities in that question itself because of the profile of the two squads. So if United aren't able to get a fullback, it would be more of the case where the left side is more attacking and the right side is more held back. But obviously, that depends on who's playing in front of them. So because the squad is so dysfunctional, it's hard to judge where they will go. But if they do want a fullback, a right back to come into the squad, Nusair Mazraoui, who's with Ajax right now, is right there available to buy on a free or to take on a free because his contract's expiring. So I do imagine that if Ten Hag does come in anytime soon, Mazraoui would be his first signing because, well, it's a free go at a player who almost wants to leave Ajax. His contract's up. It doesn't seem like he's interested in extending his contract. The problem is Mino Raiola is his agent, and United and Mino Raiola don't really have a good relationship. But if you do want a player right there, Mazraoui is right there. But in terms of the other side, I do think Shaw and Telles both would appreciate Ten Hag. Telles especially because of his more attacking outlook on the game. I don't think he's that special defensively, but he is a brilliant asset when going forward, especially with his delivery. Shaw is a little more mixed on both sides. I do like Shaw. But I do think both left-backs would be happy to play under Ten Hag. In terms of the centre of defence, as you mentioned, Maguire, he's quite an intelligent player. I do think he'll find a place eventually in Ten Hag's team solely because of his almost excellent ball-playing abilities. You know, whatever opinion you have of Harry Maguire, it's almost undoubted that he is one of the best ball-playing defenders in the league. So I do think that's going to be quite useful. And I think that's going to essentially help him find a place in the team, especially along with Lindelof, who's almost similar. So, you know, I think those two will be more secure than many people think. I think that Maguire is here for a long time, whether that's under Ten Hag or Pochettino.
Yeah, a lot of United fans don't want to hear that about Harry Maguire. But obviously, we're going to now start talking about who would he buy and why he'd buy those players. You've mentioned Mazraoui, who's fantastic. I mean, that would be very, very smart business. Whoever gets him, I mean, it looks like possibly Barcelona are looking at him. So I would really like him. I think he'd be a really smart signing. But who else would Ten Hag look at? Because obviously, there are deficiencies in midfield. There's a lot of talk about Declan Rice. Very, very expensive. United need number nine, most likely. Unless Martial does come back and has his maybe fifth rejuvenation, I don't know. But there's a lot of chat as well about Antony. United almost have an issue now at right winger, which is quite crazy. They signed Jadon Sancho, who's proficient on both sides, looks more comfortable on the left, to be honest. They spent 80, 90 million on him, and now they need a right winger. So that's Man United in a nutshell. Whether that means someone like Diallo might get a chance, Ahmad, obviously still very, very raw. Still needs more game time. I think a loan would be helpful. But what profiles do you think he'd be targeting and why?
I do think midfield is definitely the place where almost every manager who's come to United for the last couple of years has been wanting to improve, but somehow they've been unable to do so, apart from, say, Matic and Mourinho, which worked out for about a season or so. But I do think that's one place to improve. If you could go, I could give the lazy option and give an Ajax target and say, Edson Álvarez is right there, and he's been quite good for them for the last couple of months, almost irreplaceable. So he's definitely one to target. He'd come in much cheaper than Declan Rice would as well. But if United do want to go all out and they're happy to spend, Declan Rice is the one. I can't see anyone sort of being better in terms of, especially Premier League experience, in terms of his quality itself. I do think he has the potential to be a mainstay in the United team. So if I were to pick, I'd go for Declan Rice personally, just to sort of give a surefire option.
Would Ten Hag like him, Curran?
I think he would. I think he's got quite similar qualities in a way. In terms of his progression, in terms of his style, we've seen it being successful for England as well, not only for West Ham. So definitely, I think he'd be the one to go for if money's not an issue. If you want to look at a more defensive option, I'll stay at the back now. I heard a lot of things about Jurrien Timber being one to go. And obviously, I think a lot of these are lazy rumours because of an Ajax manager being linked. But I don't think Jurrien Timber is perhaps the right person to join the Premier League right now, especially if they're playing a 4-3-3. I think he'd be more suited to a back three or a back five, whatever you look at it. So I don't think Jurrien Timber is the one right now. But in terms of the attack itself, a winger role, you could say let's give Elanga or Ahmad more of a chance and sort of see what happens there for a couple of months. I don't think Antony should be the one to go to move right now, but I'd say give the current squad more of a chance to see how it goes, especially if you want to consider Sancho as well. But in terms of the out and out centre forward, I do think it's time for Ronaldo to go. I do think it's time for Cavani to go. It can be down to age, mobility in the team. I don't think they're going to work under Ten Hag, either of them. So there needs to be a more mobile forward coming in. The easiest option would be to go for Erling Haaland and secure yourself for the next 10 years. My preference would be that, because in terms of the potential itself, Haaland alongside Bruno Fernandes, Sancho, Rashford, whoever you want to say, it's your forward line secured for the next decade or so. So that would be the one. In terms of who's coming in, I think those players would be the ones that should be targeted, the top level talents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, that would be a dream signing, wouldn't it? Or dream signings for Man United. I think it's an interesting one because, there are a few other options out. I mean, look, Akanji is someone that Ranić does like. So he has been. I mean, I don't know if he's much better than what United have at the moment. He has been mentioned. I like the look of Jonathan David at Lille, and I could see him fitting Ranić's system quite nicely. There's Tchouameni as well from Monaco, who's a fantastic player, probably maybe not half the price, still be expensive, but I could see him really fitting in very, very well, in that single pivot in Ten Hag's system.
Yeah.
Those are the sort of players as well that maybe Ten Hag would like to buy.
I think so. I think Jonathan David, you mentioned, is a very good option. I mean, I can't really judge for how much I watched it. I know it's not very much, but in terms of what you see from how his record is, in terms of how he plays, I think Jonathan David is a very smart option. Tchouameni is another one that you can perhaps see working. you know, those sort of players are there to sort of get them on a lower price. So yeah, they would work out. But yeah, it's I can't really say what they're going to sign because of this complex there is between Ralf Rangnick and Erik ten Hag. It's hard for anyone to say because of, you know, we still don't know who the next manager is going to be or whether Ralf Rangnick is going to take the job. But as of right now, if you want to look at plainly the targets that have been set in the papers, these sort of players are the ones that are going to be mentioned most often. You think of Haaland, John David, Mazraoui, all the sort of players are going to be mentioned the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's finish off now, Curran. Some fantastic insights. Thank you very much. Just a short conclusion. You know, we've obviously spoken about Erik ten Hag's ability. We've spoken about his tactics. We've spoken about his mentality. And he's a very, very impressive coach. Probably, I would say, one of the standout coaches right now in world football. Where do you sit on it? I'm not going to say whether you think he's going to come or not, because we don't know what's going to happen there. You know, only a couple of weeks ago, Pochettino was nailed on. Now, suddenly, Ten Hag seems to be the one that's most nailed on. But what is your sort of gut feeling in terms of success if Ten Hag joins Man United? Do you think he's going to be a good success? Do you think United will stumble across a manager that can maybe push them closer to the other top two?
It's really difficult to say for any United manager that's coming over the last 8 years, you know. 8 years ago, there was a question whether Van Gaal was going to be a success, and it was nailed on to be a yes because of how good he was. 5 years ago, it was Mourinho was going to be a success, and yes, it was because he was such a great manager at the time. With Ten Hag, once again, you have to say yes because it's going to be Erik ten Hag. It seems like a different era altogether, especially when you consider Ralf Rangnick's going to be there as well. There's more of a football-centric vision at the football club than there was 5, 6, 7 years ago. Obviously, the issues are still there with the Glazers and all that, but I'm not going to go into that. But it just seems how you define success. Whether you want trophies, I definitely can't see it happening immediately. It won't happen in his first season, perhaps, maybe a cup win at best. But in terms of the big two trophies, which everyone seems to want, the league and Champions League, perhaps the league can happen in the next 3 or 4 years, provided Ten Hag is given the right tools. Provided there's steady progression every year. And that means qualifying for the Champions League every year and playing and competing and closing the gap down between themselves and City, Liverpool, Chelsea every season.
Yeah, spot on. And that's what United have to do. They have to back him. That's my biggest concern, to be honest, Curran, is that, you know, they back him in the first season. Whichever, this is not just him, it's any new manager. They back him, give them 200 million, 250 million to spend. They get Champions League, and then they want to, you know, obviously add two or three players to get closer to top two and to actually win the title, and they don't get back. We've seen that with managers consistently. And also sign the players that he wants. You know, I don't want us to go and sign players that you think are going to go and sell more shirts commercial. So you do hope that, you know, obviously there is, like you mentioned, there seems to be possibly more of a football-centric vision at the club, or they're trying to implement that. It's the Edward Wood era, so you do hope. And only time will tell, really. But look, Curran, thank you very much for joining me today. Where can the listeners find your book, your Ajax book?
My next book is about Ajax. It's going to be out on April 18th of this year. And it can be found on all major booksellers and online booksellers. So that's Amazon, Waterstones, Book Depository, and other major retailers you can find in your country. That's about it.
Fantastic. What we'll do is we'll chuck the link in the description so you can pre-order it and definitely give it a read because, you know, Curran's done some fantastic work. Thank you for joining me, Curran. Guys, as always, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you also catch up on the masterclass and the FPL masterclass that we do every single week. Give us a follow on at TF Masterclass, give myself a follow on at Hinos_Barney. Give Curran a follow as well. The link should be in the description. Have a lovely day, and we'll see you all next time.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.